English Across the Pond.
Hello, hello, hello. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you are listening in the world. Welcome back to another episode of English Across the Pond, or if this is your first time listening, welcome to English Across the Pond. Mm. You are in the right place if you want to practice and improve your American and British English, get more vocabulary for your everyday life, perhaps pass the IELTS or the TOEFL with a high score, and have fun learning English. My name is Jennifer. I'm from the US.
And my name is Dan, and I'm from England.
So there you have it, your American and British English podcast hosts. You're listening to English Across the Pond. Dan, hello, mate.
Hello, or howdy. Howdy, partner.
Howdy. Howdy, partner. How are you doing today?
I am very well. Spring is in the air. I've been for a run, and I've played some guitar. So I'm good. I'm having a good day.
Nice. Mm. We're talking about books today, yeah. And I made a bit of a boo-boo.
Oh.
Sometimes when I think about themes for this, you know, beautiful podcast we do, I try to coincide it with holidays, special dates, seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, I thought World Book Day was around now.
Oh, and when is it? December?
It doesn't exist, no. It is, I think, April. So I just kind of double-checked it this morning to see when it actually was. I'm like, April 23rd?
Oh.
What?
So you're just early, that's all. It's just this is globally probably the very first World Book Day podcast. We're just in before everybody else.
Yeah, we're just doing it early. So books are really important.
Oh, yeah.
Are you a bookworm?
Nope. No, I'll,
and that concludes today's episode. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.
Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye. I'm not. I mean, my friend, she reads like 3 books at once and is constantly. And I'm not like that. I'm not an avid, voracious reader who's constantly. But I love audiobooks. I do read books. So I'm kind of a bookworm. I was exaggerating. Yeah, a lot, of course. Knowledge is king. I love to read, but as I say, I'm not like there's not books all over the house sort of thing. And most of my books are in electronic format.
Oh, so on a Kindle, perhaps?
They weren't. They were on an iPad, but I started to worry about my eyes. Well, not worry about my eyes so much, but worry that my eyes were preventing me from sleeping properly and not getting a good night's sleep. And the problem is, of course, if you've got your iPad in the bedroom reading books before you go to bed, you're also checking the football before you go to bed, checking Facebook before you go to bed. So I bought a Kindle because it's, you know, flying solo. It's books only on there.
It limited your scrolling.
Yeah, and what I didn't really realize when I started looking into it is an iPad, the light goes into your face, whereas with a Kindle, the light actually shines down onto the page. Oh, yeah.
Oh, what?
Did you know that?
What? No. I'm not a Kindle kind of girl.
They're all right, actually. Incredibly light. Amazing battery life. Only black and white, which was a bit boring. Like a book.
Wait, black and white like the actual device or black and white words on the screen?
Well, both, really.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we... Is this not the perfect representation of modern day? Here we are. Our episode is about books, and we're talking about screens and Kindles and iPads.
That's my fault.
And hey, you're not even the generation of
no.
Well, I won't make an age joke.
I'm a baby boomer.
Yeah.
So what about you then? What about you? Before we jump into another question, how about you and your reading habits? Are you curled up on the sofa with a good book?
With my nose to the pages? I am a really, really, really good book collector.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
I'm really good at letting books collect dust and cobwebs on my shelves.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm really motivated to read.
Yeah.
But there is one little thing called time.
Time. I knew you were going to say that. Yeah.
I know. And, you know, I know some people listening could say, oh, Jennifer, that's just an excuse.
Yeah.
My priorities aren't straight, blah, blah, blah. It's what I tell myself all the time.
Mm.
And I have gotten better. But I lack a little of the drive or the motivation to do the deed, to, like, sit down and actually read, because I think, like, oh, I could be doing something else. So what has kind of helped is audiobooks.
Yeah. Woo.
Audiobooks. So I just lost my thought of what the audio Amazon Audible.
Audible, yeah, yeah.
Audible.
Me too.
And so actually we can include an Audible link for anyone listening, and they can download 2 free books with the link that we set up on our page.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
So that is what I use. I used a code. I got 2 free books. So I was like, oh my gosh, this is really easy for me. I could do this. I could multitask. I could listen to a book while cooking, while cleaning, while driving. So that felt a lot easier. But then I ran into an issue where I am so visual.
Yeah.
So depending on what I was reading, I needed to, like, see the words. I needed to see it to really understand it. So I went back to books, and I actually, the past couple months, have been really utilizing my local library.
Wow.
Yes. So I go into my library, or maybe at home beforehand, I'll look up some books that I'm interested in getting.
Mm-hmm.
I'll see if they're at my local branch. And if they're not, I will have them transferred to my local branch.
Cool, get you.
And then they email me when it's ready. So I've just picked up lots of books, and I do it for me and I do it for my son as well.
And have they got good books? Yeah, I mean, is it quite a contemporary, it's a good library.
Yeah, and we have a city library with like 20 different libraries, and we have public libraries, which are, I don't really know the difference, but like I have 2 separate library cards for these 2 different. So there's probably at least 40 libraries within a 30-mile radius that I could go to and get books. So it's really, really cool. And I've been setting aside time recently, and I have been reading more.
Good. Glad to hear it.
But my next question for you is, do you like books that are a certain type of genre?
Yeah. Can you guess? You know me pretty well now. We've been doing this podcast since 1857.
Well, you don't like movies.
Good. So what kind of books wouldn't I like?
So you probably don't like fiction.
You're like a detective.
I know. You probably like a good memoir, perhaps a biography or a nonfiction.
Biography is good. I like self-help books.
Oh my god, Dan, that is why we are business besties. I love me a good self-help book.
I'll tell you what I'm reading now. Just let me find his name. I think his name is David Coggins. Have you heard?
Oh,
I must say, I normally read self-help books by females. I don't know why. I think it just appeals to I don't know the reason. But this is by some guy. His name is just coming up audible. It's just loading on my phone. I think his name it's called Can't Hurt Me by David Coggins. And he's been through one hell of a life. And he doesn't mind dropping the F-bomb every now and again. And it's you want to get your ass out of bed. A little bit like that. But he's also kind of compassionate, and it's very different for me, because he's speaking to the sort of male side of me, and I'm more used to the people.
Oh, the masculine.
Yeah, like the testosterone. You want to succeed? If you're going to lie there, it's like, if you think you're fat, you better admit you're fat. So I'm like, wow.
I'm fat.
Okay, David. But normally I've got people who are just going, be calmer with yourself and be kind to yourself. So it's quite nice to get this sort of like role reversal. But yeah, self-help books generally. Mel Robbins. Who else?
You love Mel
I do.
Robbins.
Oh, yeah. Brené Brown. She's very, Ruby
Do
Wax.
I know Brené?
Elizabeth Gilbert.
Oh, E Pray Love.
And Charles Dickens. He is not... He's not self-help. But
modern day?
I love Charles Dickens as well.
So one of my other questions I was thinking about asking you, which I think I know the answer to now, though, was how often do you read books that are turned into movies or books that are turned into TV series?
Rarely.
Probably not often, I was going to say. Well, so you're not reading the Harry Potters, the Game of Thrones, the Handmaid Tales, none of those?
No, but I'll tell you, this is completely different subject. I was teaching a class today, and in the room next door, the other teacher put Harry Potter on. And within 3 seconds of the music starting, the whole class went, "That's Harry Potter." I was like, oh my God, what an effect. What a huge impact Harry Potter's had on the globe. These were kids from Italy and Brazil and Oman, and they all just went, "Harry Potter." So how do you know that? After like 3 seconds. Like, well, it's obvious. It's the fourth movie. It's the bit where the, and they all knew exactly the scene.
It's incredible. I'm riding the same train you're riding. I don't do Harry Potter. I've never read a Harry Potter book. I have seen parts of some. I couldn't even tell you which ones. It's just not my jam.
I read the first book first. Back in the day, this was in the 90s. And it's really good, actually. It's really, really good.
Well,
but then it just got kind of samey.
Yeah. Would you ever dabble with fiction books, or do you think you're pretty set in your ways with self-help?
I do like fiction books, and Graham Swift is an English writer. He's won like the Booker Prize and things. He's really good. It's the same thing with sort of like movies. The only reason really that I don't watch movies is because I like music so much that I don't want to waste time missing music. It's kind of the same with like, I get such a kick out of like reading self-help stuff. I've nothing against fiction. I don't dislike it. It's just that it's kind of, given a choice, I prefer brown bread instead of white bread. And I'll eat white bread. I just prefer, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm not dissing fiction. I don't want to upset all the fiction writers who are listening in, you know.
Well, yeah, we're not trying to diss on anybody. We're just expressing what our cup of tea is, right?
So what are you reading at the moment?
Well, to finish on the point you just mentioned, because you mentioned, you know, lyrics, and to tie in some English support for our listeners, if you find yourself not really liking books, or books just aren't really your thing, but you like music, like Dan, for example, my husband, you know, is from Brazil, so his first language was Portuguese. One of the strongest support systems for him learning English when he was younger was reading lyrics books of lyrics of Bob Dylan was his favorite. So he still has these 5-inch thick books of like all of these different lyrics that Bob Dylan has. I don't know how Bob Dylan has like six-inch books of lyrics. I don't know how many songs he has, but reading through lyrics books is a great way, which you could do that online now, of course, but if you like the smell of the pages and the wind that blows in your face when you turn a page, that's a book.
I think
am I reading now?
I think most people, I would think that the majority of people do still like a real book, I think. There's something nice, isn't there, about like, it seems more sort of like you're in contact. I mean, I know it's papers from a tree. I don't mean like literally, but you're kind of in touch with the earth or nature. There's something about the printed word on the actual real page, isn't there, that's kind of, I don't know, it seems very human somehow.
Yeah, and it doesn't have that distracting screen feel.
I
think.
Yeah, totally.
I think you started saying it today where if you're reading on an iPad, then it's like maybe the book reminds you of something and then you, let me Google that. And, you know, there's so many distractions.
Yeah.
Where with the book, you know, you just have the book in front of you. I completely agree.
Although you can completely with the book sometimes if there's like a map somewhere in the book or some pictures.
Yeah.
Or I'll just read the first bit again where they say what year the book was and see if it's dedicated to anyone. You know, if you're a bit bored.
Yeah. So you asked about the books that we're reading right now.
Yeah.
And I said we.
Yeah.
Because you'll get a kick out of this. I read Curious George Rides a Bike about 12 times yesterday.
With your husband.
At the dinner table. With my son. He is in a phase where we finish it and he goes, "More?" more.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then he gets excited and he puts up his fingers and his fingers go from 2 to 5 to 3 to 4. And he goes, 4, 3, 2, 4, 2 more times?
Oh, yeah.
How do you say no to that?
Gorgeous.
So flip the pages back. This is Curious George. He's just waking up. This is the friend in the yellow hat. And then I have like a disagreement with him every time where he says, that's not George. That's a monkey. And he points to the man in the yellow hat. This is George. And I'm like, for your information, young sir, no, that's not. That's the man in the yellow hat. And the monkey is George, you know. So we read that.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I also have Self-Compassion by, I can't remember the name of her, but the book is called Self-Compassion. That's on my Audible list. I have May Cause Miracles by Gabrielle Bernstein.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That I've listened to the beginning. I was reading 1, 2, 3 Magic, which was a parenting book that I was recommended. If anyone's listening and read that book, I'm like on the fence about the message. It's a little bit like behavioralistic. It feels like I'm training a dog, which I don't like.
Oh.
But I've taken some principles from that.
Well, that's probably enough. That's like 9 books or something. That's probably enough.
Well, I told you I'm really good. There's another one. Oh, The Mind-Body Prescription by Dr. Sarno.
Oh.
That's like the connection of pain and disease in your body and how it relates to suppressed emotions.
Oh, that sounds good. Yeah,
mind blown. Mm. It's a really good book. I need to pick that back up. Because
sounds interesting.
It's been collecting cobwebs for a little while, but yeah, that's what's on my list.
Mm. Nice.
Did you read books, or do you read books as a family at all?
Not so much. We used to. And I always ask my daughter, you know, what she's been reading and what the story is and things. So I kind of get a synopsis from her. It's very good for your memory, actually, to explain the book, you know, the plot of the book that you are reading, you know, to explain it to somebody else. But very popular in the UK is David Walliams. He's like the new Roald Dahl, and he's got a new book coming out, I think, at the weekend. He's so prolific. It's like 2 books a year, which is crazy, but they're often made into like little TV movies, not feature length movies, you know, made for TV, like 60-minute, 80-minute films. Yeah, he's incredibly popular. For any sort of like, if any parent is listening, or any, you know, sort of like 8, 10, 12-year-old, David Walliams, like Williams, but with an A, David Walliams, insanely popular here in the UK. And yeah, they're good. They're really fun. They're sort of like crazy and kooky. It's like Roald Dahl, really.
Yeah, cool. Mm. Very nice. Any book recommendations to kind of end this conversation? A lot of students ask me, I'm sure they ask you, like, what movie should I watch? What TV should I watch? What book should I read? And I find that question really hard to answer because it's so dependent on so many things.
Yeah, a really popular writer. It connects you and I, Jennifer, because he's an American guy, but I think he still lives in the UK. Bill Bryson. He's written Notes on a Small Island. He's wrote books about Australia, I think Canada, the US, and sort of culture. The thing is about his books, very often, it's not that difficult to understand what he's saying. Often English textbooks, English course books, if anybody's listening and knows these kind of like English File, New Headway, Cutting Edge, these sort of books often feature a page. Like one of the readings will be from him because they're fairly accessible. They're fairly understandable. And they're written in a nice way and kind of tongue-in-cheek and fun. There's also, of course, readers, which can be great for learners. You know, a sort of, it's Dickens, but it's kind of made a little bit, it's been simplified. And they're at different, like usually 5 levels from elementary through to advanced. So readers, if nobody, if you're thinking a reader, just drop me an email, admin@englishacrossthepond.com. I'll very happily recommend some to you and, you know, show you some websites and things. Readers are very useful too.
You are the best. That's so nice.
Yeah. No,
my tip and trick is not anything particular, but I would say kind of finding something towards teens. Teenagers. So teenage level is good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Teen fiction's good. Those are going to be like Harry Potter's and those kinds of things. I think the website is goodreads.com.
Oh, yeah.
And you can search by age. I think you can search for like teens, and then you can search by popularity. You could search by different filters, and that can find you a book. You can read the synopsis and kind of see if it's a good book for you. If you utilize Amazon, I really like how Amazon allows you to look inside the book. So you can look inside the book, see how the level is for you, if you understand it more or less, and then there you go.
And also on Amazon, if you like that book, then it's got more underneath. That's cool too.
Yes, that's so cool.
Very helpful.
Clearly, we could talk about books all day.
Yeah.
However,
we've got to go and read some.
Sign off. Yeah. We've got to go read some. And our listeners need some time to head over to our website and join Gold Membership.
Quite right.
Because if you want to practice reading, then we recommend signing up for Gold Membership so you can read along with this episode and utilize the transcript. So we have a transcript with this episode and most episodes, all future episodes, some past episodes. And the transcript is a great way to practice your reading. If you're reading it individually, you can follow along, read along with this episode. You could utilize it to practice the shadowing technique. You could use a lot and do a lot of things with our transcripts. And they're available for our Gold memberships. There's a study plan each and every week. And you can get that by heading to our website, englishacrossthepond.com/gold. That's G-O-L-D, gold, our Gold Pond membership.
Nice.
So yeah, get that study plan. It's available for the current and future episodes. We get a lot of emails asking us about past episodes. So we do have past episode transcripts and study plans available. So if you find that you want them in the past, send us an email and we will hook you up. We'll help you out.
Yeah, cool.
Thanks so much for listening today and every week. I'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
See you.
Hello and welcome to this week's Language Focus, where we're talking all about adjective clauses in English. Adjective clauses can be quite complex, and we're going to actually separate this lesson into a couple of different language focuses to give you the opportunity to get the information, process it, practice it, and understand it rather than giving you everything at once. So let's first talk about what an adjective clause is. An adjective clause is a part of a sentence, a clause, that has a subject and a verb that's giving additional information to a noun. Remember, adjectives describe nouns. So for example, I'm wearing a green shirt. I have long hair. Green and long are examples of adjectives that are describing a noun, shirt or hair. Most of the time, adjectives are one or two words that are describing a noun. But what about when we need more information, when we need a sentence to describe a noun? That is when we use an adjective clause. You'll notice, or you can notice, that I used an adjective clause in a question that I asked Dan in this episode. I asked Dan, do you like books that are a certain type of genre? That are a certain type of genre is an example of the adjective clause. We have a question. Do you like books? If I ask that question, do you like books? It's really general. There's not any extra information about the noun books. I need to give more information to describe that noun. So I'm going to use an adjective clause to do that. Adjective clauses are going to start with a relative pronoun. A relative pronoun is the word who, which, that, those, and whom. Those are examples of relative pronouns that start an adjective clause. The adjective clause is going to start with that relative pronoun, and then it's going to continue asking the rest of the sentence. So, do you like books? What kind of books? That are a certain type of genre. That are a certain type of genre, again, is an example of the adjective clause. What today's language focus is going to focus on is the difference between a subject adjective clause, a subject pronoun, or an object adjective clause, an object pronoun.
and an easy way to tell the difference, because there are some rules about structure of these two different types. So I'm going to give you two examples. Give me the book that is on the table. Or give me the book which is on the table. Give me the book. Which book, you might ask? I need to give more information to describe that word book so you know what I'm talking about. I need an adjective clause. Give me the book which is on the table. The book that is on the table. Which is on the table, that is on the table, is an example of an adjective clause. This is an example of a subject pronoun. And we know this because the relative pronoun which or that is followed by a verb. Give me the book that is on the table. If we want to have an object relative pronoun or an object adjective clause, notice we can say a sentence, for example, give me the book that Dan put on the table. Give me the book which Dan put on the table. In this situation, the relative pronoun which or that is followed by a verb. I'm sorry, is followed by a pronoun, is followed by a person, Dan. Give me the book that Dan put on the table. So when we have an adjective clause that starts with a relative pronoun, which or that, and the word after the relative pronoun is a person, is another pronoun, then we know that is an object adjective clause. Now again, I said adjective clauses were quite complex, so we're going to stop there today. And the focus, the goal of today's language focus, is to help you identify what the difference is between an object adjective clause or a subject adjective clause, because there are differences in rules and structures for both. So remember, if the relative pronoun is followed by a verb, then it's a subject. If it's followed by a pronoun or a person, then it is an object. Our members this week are going to get all of this information in our study plan. And our study plan is going to give exercises to help you practice identifying whether it's a subject or an object relative pronoun. And we're also going to give you some practice creating some of these sentences. So if you need more practice of adjective clauses and you want to learn more with us, as I mentioned, you can get our study plan by going over to our website and joining our Gold membership. We hope to see you on the inside of our Pond membership, and thanks so much for learning with us. Bye-bye.